Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. And we're going to talk this morning about light. How is your light? You know, there are many aspects of light that we see in our life. Sometimes we see the illumination in a room, or maybe it's the sunlight that we look forward to seeing after a long, stormy night, and other factions of light. But I want us to talk about our Christian light today. How many people remember the song, "When You Hold Up a Finger Like This"? Do you remember this from Vacation Bible School or the small children's classes? I'm not going to lead the song, so don't worry. But what's the song? Our little what? Christian light of mine, right? So what does the song go? It says, this is my little Christian light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine all the time. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to hide it under what? I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it what? Shine. You know the song. And I'm also going to not let Satan do what to it? Blow it out, okay? I'm going to let it shine. This is my Christian life. Now, we teach a little 4 or 5 year old child to do this, and they'll go, and during Vacation Bible School or during the class, they'll all hold up their fingers like this, and they'll sing with enthusiasm, especially when they get to the point about covering it up or not blowing it out, because those are actions, and they get into that. The concept is there. The concept is there from a very young age for all of us. That our light, what we have, is this Christian light. It's not our finger. What it is the gospel. It's the good news. It's what God has entrusted with us to go out and to tell other people. You are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. And so if we are the light of the world, the question is today, how is our light? How is this light coming along? Now, if you will, turn with me over to the book of Psalms. And in Psalm chapter 18, let's look at a couple of verses here, verses 28 through 30. And this part, I want us to think about the confidence that comes along with knowing that we have God behind us, that we are on God's side, and that He is there to illuminate our path. Listen here to the psalmist. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. For by my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. Now, think of all those concepts that are there. Let's just break that down just for a moment here. For you will light my lamp. Okay? God is going to be the source of illumination for us. He is the way that we get the light in the first place. It comes from God. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. There are times that places are really, really dark. The lights go out. The electricity goes off. And so you fumble around for a source of light. Here's a flashlight maybe by the bed, or maybe you grab your phone and you turn the flashlight app on there, and then you can go on. Carl and I were involved in an interview process at Creve Hall, 6 years ago, I guess. And it was late one night, and we were upstairs, and we were getting ready to wrap up the meeting, and we were in the midst of a prayer, and they have an automatic system for their lights. And during the middle of the prayer, the lights went out. And so it's totally dark. It's dark outside. It's dark inside. And there are no lights anywhere. And so all of us, you see everybody fumbling for their phones. And then we go down the corridors and all with these little flashlights on our phones to illuminate our way. God illuminates our darkness. When we find ourselves in a position of darkness, well, I don't know the way. I can't find my way. How do I find that? Well, I look to God. God provides the illumination for me. That's what the psalmist is saying. You're going to provide my light. You're going to illuminate my darkness. For by you, I can run against or run through a troop. Here are enemies in front of me. And what can I do? I can go through them. I can go around them. Why? Because you are with me, Lord. I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. See, David wasn't perfect in his life, but he understood this. He sought after God. God always has the solution. God always has the answers. And so he's always looking to God for the way that he should go. God is his light. Now, there are a couple of different ways that we can provide light in the world. One, and this is a quote that's coming up here by Edith Wharton. There are two ways of spreading light: to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it. Now, think about that for a moment. Two ways of being light, to be the candle or the mirror behind it that reflects it. Some people say, well, you know, Brother Mike, I can't go to Haiti like Arby does. I can't go and do these types of things or mission trips like some of the kids do. I can't do that. Well, that might be seen as a light, but what can you do? You can help to reflect that light. You can help to pray for them, support them, encourage them, give them good words. You can uplift them. You can be the support system. You can be the light for others, even though they may be on the front lines doing something. You can be back here helping. We need to think about the light in our life. Are we doing things that we should? Now, I've got three different aspects of light that we're going to talk about today. The first is, are you burning brightly? So let's look over to Matthew chapter 5. This is where Jesus is telling us that we are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, a very familiar passage to us. Think about it. As you're listening to Jesus as he was saying this, he's telling the audience here, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're going to be the illumination for the path for all of these other people. How does that feel? How does that feel to know that the Lord is telling you, you are the light. You are the illumination. Remember this little Christian light of mine? I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to let Satan get close to it to blow it out. I'm going to let it shine and let it shine brightly. Now listen to what Jesus says. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, let's just contrast that last verse here with a little bit in chapter 6. He says in chapter 6 and verse 1, opening in my Bible, he says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father in heaven. Okay, now, so what is he saying? Is Jesus confusing us? Is he trying to trip us up? On the one hand, in chapter 5, he says, let your light shine. And then in chapter 6, he says, now, don't you be doing things in front of other people just to be seen by them. Here's a subtle difference, but it is a difference. In chapter 6, he's talking about people that want to be seen for the good works that they do. They're the ones that want to show up when somebody's there from the newspaper to take a picture of them with somebody handing a check or doing something else. But they're there for those types of moments. Jesus says, don't you be like that. Don't be in that state. You just focus on doing what needs to be done. You do your job and let your light shine. That's what in Matthew chapter 5 he says. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not glorify you. We get lots of pats on the back anyway. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. So let's let our light shine brightly. Now, what does that mean for us today? As Christians, how do we let our light shine? Well, starting next Sunday, my good friend Jeff Jenkins is going to be here, and he's going to have a series of lessons on the Christian life. It's going to be a great series. I want you to be here, not because you feel forced to be here, but I want you to be here because you need to be here. We all need to be here to hear these messages, to encourage each other, to bring our neighbors and others, waitresses that we see and others, and to invite them and let them come and be with us. I want us to let our light shine brightly this week especially, so that when we go to a restaurant or go in and talk to our neighbors, people know that we're Christians. They know that we love Jesus Christ. And because we do love Jesus Christ and we want others to be saved, we're going to want others to come and be with us next week. I want us to let our light shine, not to hide it, not to hide it. I read an account just recently of a man. One of the preachers wrote this up, talking about a man who retired from his job. And at his job, they found out, his coworkers found out that he was a Christian. And all those years working in the place, they never knew that he was a Christian. Is that the kind of light that you want to have? A light that is hidden to where others don't even know where your allegiance is? No. No, I want us to let our light shine. Now, as far as having our allegiance, I noticed a few ties and other things today that show a certain allegiance to certain schools. We don't seem to have a problem doing that, and that's fine. That's fine. I think that's great. Let people know that you root for Auburn or Alabama or Tennessee or whatever other school. Let people know that. We're not afraid to show our allegiance to our sports teams. We'll even go into enemy territory. We have a friend of ours down from Nashville, and she bravely came into enemy territory last night while the game was there. And, she survived. That's great. And everybody's been nice to her, and that's even better. That's wonderful. But listen, we don't worry about that because that's sports. That's serious. We're going to let everybody know what we think and who we follow. What about for Christianity? Is your light shining brightly? People that you work with, shop with, live next to, do they know that you go to worship God? Do they know that you read your Bible? Do they know that you believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life, and there's no other way to heaven except through Him? If they don't, then I'm not sure that our lights are burning as brightly as they should be. Let's go on to this next one now, over in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We were just here a little bit Wednesday night with a short devotional. But 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, talking about walking in the light. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that is God, and we walk in darkness, that is that we do things that are sinful, then we are liars and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Here again we have the concept of our light. This little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, how am I letting it shine? Well, it illuminates my path. It shows me where I should be going. What else does it do for me? Well, it helps others to know who I'm aligned with. It lets others know. Now, listen, God is light. And John says here there is no darkness in him at all. Have you ever noticed that when you walk into a darkened room and you produce even the least amount of a source of light, that the darkness immediately vanishes? It flees. You can go into a darkened room or a closet, you reach inside and flip that light switch, and immediately all the darkness is left. Darkness and light do not coexist, and God doesn't do this by accident when he shows that light is representing righteousness and goodness in God, and that darkness is representing unrighteousness and sin and Satan. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, we know that concept. We understand it. It's simple, I know, but it's also simply applied to the gospel and to our lives as Christians. This is my light. Wherever I go, I need to know that God is with me and that I'm producing light around me. And wherever I go, people need to know that I'm a Christian. When I walk into a room as a Christian, what happens to the sin and the darkness and the things around? Well, the darkness and the light cannot coexist in the same place. So when I go in, if people know that I'm a preacher, and if I go into an area and they're doing things that they ought not to do, guess what happens? They usually stop doing those things. Have you ever had that experience? Have you walked in because people know that you're a Christian, they stop saying the bad words, or they stop acting in ways that they ought not to be acting? You see, that's light and darkness. How is our light? Is it burning brightly? If it is, then we're doing the things that we ought to be doing. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4 now, and we see a choice that's coming up for us. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Solomon the wise man is telling us here, but the path of the just is like the shining sun or light that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. The definition of insanity has been said that it's doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That you could just try and try and try to do the same thing over and over and over again, but you get the same result. So it's insane for you to keep doing the same thing over and over and not and to expect something different after all the failures to accept something that would be successful. Sometimes I'm afraid that in our life, we try to do things our way without going back to the owner's manual. We don't go to the manual, to the Bible, to say, well, God, how is it that I'm supposed to work out this relationship? How is it that I'm supposed to be able to repair this over here? How is it that I'm supposed to be able to reach my children or grandchildren or somebody else with the gospel? Because I've tried all my ways, and I keep doing it over and over, and it's just not working. So what am I supposed to do? Go to the source and go to the light. Remember what David said earlier, right? Your ways are perfect. They're perfect. They're there. They're going to be the source of my light. With your light, I can overcome all the enemies. And here Proverbs tells us that there's a choice to be made. You've got the one choice of righteousness, where the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines brighter unto the perfect day. The older I get, the more I appreciate good lighting wherever I go. I got to tell you, last night we were out at the barn, and Carla said, what does that sign say up on that side of the wall? And I said, I can't read that. That's way too far away, you know. Now, the lighting was pretty good, but the distance was bad. And there are other times I'll have something right in my hand, and the lighting will not be sufficient for me to really read what I need to read. The righteousness is like having the bright sun all the time to where there's no difficulty in us seeing. But notice what the contrast is. And these couplets are all throughout the Proverbs, one side and then the other side. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They can't figure out why it is that they can't make ends meet in the religious sense. I mean, have you ever seen somebody that always runs out of money and they can't figure out why? And they do the definition of insanity. They do the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, but they always run out of money before they run out of bills. And you start to think, you know, at some point, don't you analyze this? At some point, don't you just sit down and say, how is this supposed to be going? Oh, I'm spending too much over here. I need to cut back there. Oh, I'm not making enough. I need to make some more. There's simple solutions, and yet our country is full of people that don't understand the simple. And because of that, they expect other people to do for them because they can't understand what they should be doing. The same is true in spiritual matters. There are some people that keep groping in the dark, wondering where God is. Oh, God's going to be over here in this movie. No, God's going to be over here in this part of nature. No, God is going to be right here in this book to tell us what we should be doing. And if we look to God and find our light with Him, we're going to see that things are burning brightly for us. Choose the light. Now, the second part of this has to do with us as we burn out. If you turn back over to the left in the book of Job, you'll find here Job chapter 18. That Bildad is speaking. You know, Job has these three friends that come and a fourth friend that's going to be there later in the book. Job is an intense book to study through and to see. First couple of chapters, we find Job as he encounters these difficulties, and the four messengers come and tell him all these bad things that happen. And what he ends up with, at the end of the first day, he has four servants that are left. All of his children are gone. All of his other servants are gone. All of his holdings are gone. He's got a wife that soon will turn on him and say, curse God and die. And he still has his health, but that's going to be taken away from him too. By the time you get to Job chapter 3, Job is saying, I wish I'd never been born. I cursed the day I was conceived. None of this is any good. And then his friends, who were friends indeed only for a week because they sat there in silence to be with him, once they started speaking, they started blaming Job for all that went wrong. They said, Job, don't you know that this is all your fault? Don't you know that bad things only happen to bad people? They never happen to good people. If you'll just repent and go back to God and say, I'm sorry, He'll put all these things back on you because you've obviously done something to bring all this on you. You know, a lot of people still think that way today, but that's not the case. Now, Job's friends talk, and not all of what they say is truth, but let's listen to what Bildad says here at verses 5 through 10. He says, the light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. The steps of his strength are shortened, and his own counsel cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks into a snare. The net takes him by the heel, and the snare lays hold of him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap for him in the road. Now, he's talking here about the light of the wicked, all right, the righteousness. In a wicked person, the righteousness is going to escape. It's going to leave him. Those that try to serve two masters, God and Satan, they can't do that. You can't serve the two masters. Why? Because you're going to have to choose one or the other. So you can't be a faithful Christian on Sunday and a faithful servant of Satan on Monday. It doesn't work that way. Light and darkness do not coexist. So what happens to the light with a person who turns wicked, who gets burned out, or who leaves the righteousness? All kinds of evil and bad things are going to happen. Let's look at the next one of these then. In 1 John chapter 2, so we're going back to the book of 1 John. And in this section, we're talking, we've just been here a few weeks ago. Look at verses 9 through 11. Sometimes our choices and our actions cause us to burn out and to become frustrated. Look at verses 9 through 11. John says, he who says he is in the light but hates his brother is in darkness until now. Now, remember the concept. Light and darkness, they can't coexist. So I have to have either one or the other, either light or darkness. Now, light would say, I love my brethren. I love my God. I'm in fellowship with God. But all throughout 1 John, he's talking about the fact you can't have it both ways. You can't hate your brother and also live in the light. Verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light. That's good. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. Now, stumbling, we think in terms of stumbling like we trip over our feet and we fall down, or we stumble along a darkened path and we don't know our way and we hit an obstacle and overcome it. Spiritually, stumbling would be that we've come up face to face with temptation and we succumbed to it. We gave in to it. We didn't stay on the right path. Why? Because we didn't have the illumination, the light from God to help us out. Verse 11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. There are times that we need that light to come back in. Light's been said to be the greatest disinfectant. Well, light will chase the darkness away. It will expose the evil deeds of men. That's what Jesus said. That's why men love darkness instead of light, because they don't want that Christian light to be shining on them. Think with me just for a moment to your workplace or to your situations where you interact with other people. Are there times that as a Christian you want to walk in, but sometimes you just want to cover that light up because you don't really want them knowing that you're a Christian? Are there times that you're tempted not to speak up or to show dissatisfaction with someone's speech or a story or things that they want you to do? In my years that I worked at the corporation at Northern Telecom, there were occasions where there were illegal or unethical things that were being asked of us. I didn't like that. I didn't want to do that. I got out of the management track because I said, I will not do these things. That is not right. It's not, you know, but there were others I knew that said, well, you know, it's a job and I need that job. And so they're going to cover up their light to do that. There are times that we get burned out. We burn brightly for God and then we have darkness that comes back in that covers us up because of the choices that we make. There's one other passage that I want to go to here in this section, and this is Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. I tell you, there's a real epidemic going on in our country today, and it's not just within the Churches of Christ, although Churches of Christ have this happening to them as well. But it's an epidemic of people who have been lifelong members of churches. They've grown up in the church, learned these things about the stories. They know how to worship and how to act within their churches, but they get to a certain point when they say, I'm done. And the group of them is called the Dones, D-O-N-E-S. The largest religious group, as far as surveys in our country, has to be with the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. People saying, I'm not Jewish, I'm not Catholic, I'm not Muslim, I'm not Christian. I'm none of those. In other words, I'm atheist or agnostic. I'm none of those in organized religion. But there's another set of people. Those are people that never had a connection with God. There's another set of people, though, that are the D-O-N-E-S, duns, and they're people who have they're largely white, middle class, affluent. They have been active in churches for years, and they detach from churches, and they're doing so in record numbers. They're saying, I'm done with the way that things are being done. I'm done with the bureaucracy. I'm done with the lack of spirituality. I'm done with the things that seem to not even connect me with God or what I should be doing as a Christian. They're people that are burning out. They are burning out because their light is shining, trying to shine, but then there's so many other things that get in the way. And they become weary. Notice what Paul says here to the churches of Galatia. Chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of God or faith. Weariness is going to happen. Elders get weary. Youth ministers and ministers get weary. Deacons and Bible class teachers get weary. Secretaries get weary. We all get weary at times because of what is going on and about all the issues that come on us. Do we, as our Christian life, do we let that affect our Christian life and our influence on others? Do we let those things weary us and burden us and get us to the point where we're less effective or of no effect because we've burned out? We've let Satan blow our light out. We need to be careful on these things. Light and darkness cannot coexist. The last part of this now, are you burning brightly? Are you burned out? And the last part is found in Psalm 119. Have you never been lit? When we think of what God is doing for us, and we know that some people just haven't connected with God yet. They haven't done that. They haven't had that experience of being able to confess before others. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to this earth to be a sacrifice for all of man's sins. He hung upon that dreaded cross up there. He died a cruel death, but he rose again. And because he rose, I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And because he did that, because he died for our sins, he was buried and rose again. I have hope of eternal life. Why? Because I can die to my life of sins. I can sacrifice my old man to say, I don't want that anymore. And I can be buried in baptism into the death, into the burial of Jesus Christ. And I can be raised to walk in newness of life, just like Jesus Christ was raised from the grave. and I can come out and I can be a Christian. I can be free from that old man. I can be ready to start life again. But there are many people who have never gone through that process. They haven't experienced that yet. They believe in God. They probably believe in what the Bible says, but they haven't followed what God says yet to say, here's how you put on my son. Here's how you use his blood to wash your sins away. Here's how you begin a new relationship with me as my child forever. And some people have not made it to that point. Some people have not obeyed God yet. Some people have never yet been lit. I love this verse here, Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Oftentimes during funerals, when I listen to funerals and also some that I do, I will hear the person or be the person that talks about the deceased and how we had gone through their Bible in the days preceding that funeral and looked at the passages in their Bible that were marked. And we would see the passages that used to bear the most attention from them. And you could tell because the pages were there, because the marks were there. Sometimes there were tear stains there because these were the words that they meditated on. And you can tell what really is important to a person in their prayer life and in their spiritual life by what pages in their Bible are really well worn and well marked. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is through you, God, that I am able to navigate all these paths of the world. We have a jobs program here that meets, and these guys do a wonderful job reaching out to others and helping them to get ready for a new job, to go out. They'll look at their resume, and they'll go over some interview skills, and they'll help them with things. But, you know, it's the basic stuff, usually, that separates a good candidate from the bad candidate. It's not always what's on the resume, but it's the basic stuff. Do you look me in the eye? Do you have a handshake that's offered? Do you know how to answer things? And are you personable? Can you relate to what's going on? It's the simple things like that. And oftentimes it's the simple things for us as Christians. As we let our light shine into this world, are we being the path to others that can lead them to God? A little bit later now in this chapter, verses 129 through 136, the psalmist says, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, for I long for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no sin or iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Boy, that last verse kind of sneaks in there, doesn't it? I mean, the first few verses, what are you doing? You're talking about things saying, listen, God, your way is right. Your way is wonderful. Your way is going to help me do these things. And then he comes back to this last part. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. I think of a lot of people that really want to be right with God, but either they're not convinced of how or they're not convinced that they need to. I've got up here about Matthew 25 with the one talent man. You know that story, don't you? There were three men that the master said, I'm going to go off for a while. I'm going to give you great sums of money. To one he gave five, to another gave two. And then to this one man, he just gave one talent. It's a great sum of money, great sense of responsibility. But he feared the master, and he did nothing. He was not on fire for his Lord. He wasn't doing the things that were there. And you know what happened to him? He was cast out, and what he had was taken away from him. Friends, we need to be careful, and we need to remember that we are the light of the world. So the questions I would have for you today is, are you the light that Jesus wants you to be? Is your light burning brightly? Are you burned out? Are you wearied? Have you never been lit? It's your choice. It's not a difficult choice to make, really, because light and darkness can't coexist. Light is represented by God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So I don't want any part of the darkness. I want everything to do with God. But I need to be in God. I need to be in Christ. I need to be wearing his name. I need to be the ambassador for my Savior as I go out. When I go into the store, when I go into my workplace, when I go back to my home, I need people to know this is my Christian light, not my finger, but my life. I'm going to let it shine, not my physical finger and light, but my life. I want people to know I love Jesus. I want people to know, yes, I read the Bible. I want people to know, yes, I do believe that good people will fall short and be eternally condemned because they haven't yet accepted what Jesus offers. It's free. It's full of love. It's not difficult. Jesus says, you come. You come and lay down your old life and take up a new one. You come and confess me before men, and I'll confess you before the Father. You come, and then you leave and shine your light. How is your light today? If you have need of coming as response to the invitation this morning, if you request the prayer for this church, or if you'd like to put on Christ in baptism as Jacob did this last Wednesday, come now while we stand and while we sing.